Work there by Code Kanyemi to try to force a turnover, but the puck finds Brett Ritchie. He fires it off the boards. Turnover, shot out, and they'll score! Blake Coleman takes advantage of a turnover in the neutral zone and rifles that one past Anderson, and Calgary gets off to the hot start.
They lead once when the draw can't clear.
It's kept in, now thrown out in front. Lindholm, shot's deflected, and Anderson with a big save early to start the penalty kill for Carolina. Svechnikov up top, Pesci. Pesci wrists one. Vladar gets a piece. Knocked to the corner. Shea keeps it in all the way back for Pesci. Pesci, another one, he'll score! Pesci from the point, deflected out front. Carolina ties it at one. So once the draw comes back to Cole, and he'll snap that. Vladar has to make a pad save. Lawrence gets to it, they'll score on the rebound! Derek Stepan! Right place, right time! And he steps on the lead for the Canes. It's 2-1. Svechnikov with a lane. He'll snap one, he'll score! That's the magic! It gets through Vladar! And Carolina goes up 3-1. D'Angelo has a lane out in front, deflected. Aho, second chance, rebound opportunity, they'll score! Tony D'Angelo reads the play, starts it, finishes it, and the Canes go up 4-1. Kokiniemi taken down by Hanifin. He'll get the puck to Shea. He scores! Brady Shea is red hot. His third goal in two games. And the Canes extend the lead back to two. It's 5-3 in Carolina. And he'll score! On the power play. Svechnikov, second of the game. And Carolina goes up 6-3.
This is the Canes Corner Podcast with host Adam Gold, presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. The Canes Corner Podcast is part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Now, here's your host, Adam Gold.
Welcome to the Canes Corner Podcast, Adam Gold. Well, that's a nice way to come out of a five-day break as the Carolina Hurricanes beat the Calgary Flames by a 6-3 score. Calgary did not enjoy the last three games of their four-game road trip. I believe it was a 6-2 loss in Florida, followed by a 4-1 loss last night, or actually two nights ago, because I'm sure you're not listening to this Friday night, but if you are, Thursday night, a 4-1 loss in Tampa, followed by a 6-3 loss here in Raleigh. We're going to get to a lot of things today. First, a quick reminder, especially with the sudden cold burst that has showed up, you need to call the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. You got drafty windows? What about a door? A drafty door. You need a storm door, don't you? Aluminum Company of North Carolina, if it's for the exterior of your home, especially with bad weather, aluminumcompany.com, online, free no obligation estimate. Sammy Hannon and his crew do a great job. A lot of things are going to do. Dennis Cox is going to jump in here in a few minutes, and we'll bounce some things off of him. Also, plan is to go through some grades for the first, really the first, maybe the first third of the year. The grades were starting to be formulated a couple of games ago, but it takes a long time. You know, as us teachers, we want to be fair with grades. It takes a long time to compile the reasons why. So we'll go through some grades for some players. We've already talked about these things with Tripp on the radio show over the last few weeks, but we have some thoughts. I have some thoughts on players who have had just remarkable seasons, or players maybe who haven't had such remarkable seasons. Anyway, we get to all that stuff a little bit later on. And again, Dennis Cox is going to join us. This was a game that in the end looked pretty even. And Calgary's an outstanding team. I don't think they're a cup contender, but they're an absolute bona fide playoff team in the Western Conference. And they really took it to Carolina tonight. But let's just go through the numbers for the entire game. Shot attempts, Calgary with a 61-58 edge. So relatively even. Shots on goal, Calgary 39-37 edge. Again, relatively even. Scoring chances, 33-28 in favor of Calgary. grade A chances, 16-11, all situations, again, in favor of Calgary. Now, Calgary also had four power plays. Carolina had three, though, the last two late. So it was a relatively even game. But let me go to the first period when the ice was tilted at about a 15-degree angle in front of Freddie Anderson. Those same numbers, shot attempts, 28-13 in favor of Calgary, again, in all situations. Shots on goal, 21-10 in favor of Calgary. 21-10 in the first period. At one point, it was 16-3. Carolina really played well the last part of the period. 18-7 scoring chances in favor of the Flames. 7-2 grade A's. So when I say those numbers and I tell you that Carolina came out of the period 1-1, you understand just how easily this could have gone and should have gone the other way early. Now, that doesn't mean Carolina can't win. Remember, the Hurricanes were down 4-0 in Columbus, came back to win 7-4. So this team has enough firepower. They're not an, I don't think they're Toronto Maple Leaf caliber firepower, but they have a lot of depth, obviously, and it showed again tonight. Sebastian Aho did not score a goal. Teuvo Teravainen did not score a goal. Get very little production, actually, from the top line. Aho and Teravainen, who did each have an assist tonight, were not necessarily offensively dangerous. They were good, but they weren't dangerous tonight. But the fact that they were able to get into the locker room after 20 minutes and it's 1-1 is rather mind-blowing. And the truth is, and I put this out on Twitter, if you follow me on Twitter, you get gems like this, at @AGoldFan, by the way. So there's about 6 minutes left in the first. And Calgary is just taking advantage of turnovers and creating their own opportunities in transition, which is what got them in got Carolina in Columbus. And all I could think of was like, holy cow, if they can somehow manage to get to the locker room only down one, that would be awesome. Because if you're only down one goal, the one, what just happened in the first period, it's important, but you can mitigate that. Carolina's good enough to come back from a goal. They're going to score on Calgary. And just a couple of, I don't know, maybe a minute after I put that out on Twitter, because it was about two-thirds of the way through the period, have a good hard-working shift, couple of shots, some good puck retrieval. Shea goes down low to retrieve the puck behind the net, cycles it around the boards, back out to Pesci at the point. His shot deflected by Jesper Fast, who had the Hurricanes' only bona fide good scoring chance earlier in the period with a backhand pass from Svechnikov, but he just couldn't get it to go. And all of a sudden it's 1-1, and you're like, okay, 1-1 better than 0-1. And Carolina got to the locker room, even was like stealing. And then the rest of it is Carolina, for the most part, getting back on their game, limiting the opportunities for Calgary, at least to a normal number. It wasn't like they were stifling. I mean, Calgary still had plenty of scoring chances. But the bottom line is, in the first period, they do not get out of it unless Freddie Anderson plays as well as he did. Now, you can make the argument that maybe he should have had Coleman's goal, whatever. But he made a bunch of really good saves. I was frankly a little surprised that Freddie Anderson did not get one of the three stars based on what he did in the first period alone. I understand Jesper Fast scored a big goal, played in his 500th game. Andre had two. Shea had 3 points, a goal and two assists. I get it. You want to give those players their due. That's fine. I don't know if it's political in terms of who gets the three stars. Anyway, when you make a list of the reasons why Carolina won this game, Freddie Anderson is in the top three reasons they won. I mean, whether the numbers at the end of the night are gaudy or not, 36 saves, by the way. The fact that the Hurricanes really had a chance to win this game after the first period is entirely because of Freddie Anderson. All right, let's go through. We'll go through some goals. Dennis Cox will join us in a couple of minutes. Right away, Carolina was a turnover machine. Now, this is going to happen. You don't play in 5 days. For 5 days, they play Saturday. Now it's Friday. So Sunday through Thursday, no games. You practice a bunch, but you lose that game speed, and Carolina was a mess with the puck early. Finally, the third mistake, a Jordan Staal. It looked like maybe he and Kotkaniemi got a little bit confused in the middle of the ice. Staal gave the puck away. It went to Blake Coleman. Coleman, who I believe scored 46 goals against Carolina the last 2 years. Coleman beats Anderson, blocker side, and it's 1-0. And Calgary has plenty of chances to score. It could have been 2, could have been 3. The save that we played in the open on the power play, Lindholm with a really, really, or I guess was, yeah, Lindholm with a really smart pass, that like a shot pass, that Anderson read very well and was able to get the save on Matthew Tkachuk. That kept it 1-0. And then with 5:12 left, you had some good work by the two guys in the blue line, finished off by a former Ranger.
Svechnikov up top, Pesci. Pesci wrists one. Vladar gets a piece. Knocked to the corner. Shea keeps it in all the way back for Pesci. Pesci, another one, he'll score! Pesci from the point. Deflected out front. Carolina ties it at 1.
So many of Carolina's goals tonight had an element of hard work to them. So that's just a good zone time, smart play by Shea to get down low and keep the puck alive, keep the play alive. It'd be very simple after a missed shot goes in the corner to just get back to your position. But Carolina has so much faith in each other to cover, especially when a defender pinches down like that. So Shea's got that freedom to make that play, and it keeps it alive. And Faust is just such a smart player. He gets in the shooting lane, deflected it down, and off the inside of the post past Dan Vladar. So that makes it 1-1. We go to the locker room. Then in the second period, there were probably the first 3 minutes of the period, Carolina wasn't very good. We had more turnovers, more chances for Calgary to score. And then Carolina cleaned it up. And we had another hard-working play from Steven Lorenz, who set up another former Ranger.
Wins the draw, comes back to Cole, and he'll snap that. Vladar has to make a pad save. Lorenz gets to it, they'll score on the rebound! Derek Stepan! Right place, right time! And he steps on the lead for the Canes, it's 2-1!
Lorenz uses his big body. By the way, Stevie L is playing really, really well right now. So Lorenz uses his big body and his reach to win a battle on the wall, on the half wall on the right side. And he gets the puck loose and he brings it over in front of the net. Whether he loses control, I think that's what happened, or not. Whatever, the puck slides out to Stepan in the slot. And he just didn't waste any time, just got the puck on net right away, beat Vladar. It is now 2-1. We are now about a minute 40 later, and Andrei Svechnikov's in transition.
Svechnikov with a lane. He'll snap one. He'll score! That's the magic! It gets through Vladar, and Carolina goes up 3-1.
Probably a goal that Vladar would like back, but this is Andrei Svechnikov maybe making up for lost time. We talked about the game that he played in Columbus, which for me, he was the best player in the game. Not close. He was that good in Columbus. And the fact that he got an empty net goal at the end, maybe that just loosens it up a little bit. Well, the goal that made it 3-1, Andrei in transition. Andrei, to me, looked like he used Noah Hanifin a little bit as a screen. And he shoots it through Hanifin, past Vladar, and it's 3-1. But, man, Andrei was a little bit had both sides of the coin tonight. We had the penalty, which, frankly, I don't blame him that much for it. He almost got away with it because I didn't think there was that much of a hold. But he lost his stick, and he didn't want to let his man get to the net unabated. And he also lost, I believe he lost Johnny Gaudreau on the stretch pass goal that made it 4-3. But offensively, Andre was very, very good tonight. And now has, and we're going to get to it a little bit later on, 3 goals in his last 2 games. But Carolina, now 3-1. No need to rest on it. I've said this before about the Hurricanes. There is no better team in the NHL. Off the faceoff. Set pieces, if you will. Here's another.
D'Angelo has a lane out in front. Deflected. Aho, second chance. Rebound opportunity. They'll score! Tony D'Angelo reads the play. Starts it. Finishes it. And the Canes go up 4-1.
All right, let's describe what happened there. Sebastian Aho wins the faceoff. Teuvo Teravainen comes in to support Aho. Aho's supposed to try to win it back to D'Angelo, but he doesn't get it all the way back. Teravainen comes in and support, gets the puck to D'Angelo. D'Angelo dives down just below the top of the faceoff circle. He takes a shot. Aho, by the way, goes to the net. Aho nearly bats it in under the bar. It looked like it hit the underside of the bar or hit the bar anyway. It falls to the left side of the crease. Meanwhile, D'Angelo continues around the side back behind the net, and the puck is laying there, and D'Angelo pots it, and it's 4-1. Tony's 6th of the season from Aho and Teravainen. Again, off the faceoff, no team in the NHL any better than Carolina. Then after Matthew Tkachuk, about a minute later, maybe a little bit 51 seconds later, Matthew Tkachuk in transition, he and Elias Lindholm combine for the goal, makes it 4-2. Carolina gets out of the period, although they had to kill 2 penalties in the second period, but the penalty kill has been great, as you know. So Carolina gets in the locker room 4-2. And you know, Calgary's a good team. They got a ton of skill. They feel like they should have beaten Carolina the first time up in Calgary. I don't think Carolina was better in that game at all. Carolina was fairly fortunate that a couple of plays don't go in. Remember the Teuvo Teravainen defensive play where he essentially pulls the puck out of the net as it's about to go across the line. Jacob Slavin and Sebastian Aho each had what amounts to saves. Although Slavin's was off his own leg. But either way, they both prevented goals from going in with their sticks. And then Aho wins it in overtime when he kind of just muscles the puck past Jacob Markstrom. Anyway, so Calgary feels like they should have beaten Carolina the first time. They're itching for a win on this road trip, or at least in the last couple of games. So you knew they were going to come out hard. And then midway through the period, Johnny Gaudreau gets behind Svechnikov, stretch pass from Eric Gudbranson. It was a great play by them. And all of a sudden it's 4-3. And you go, okay, this ain't very good. You have to kill another penalty. This isn't very good. But then Carolina gets one of their own. And even though they didn't score on that one, they sort of you ate 2 more minutes off the clock. And you knew that eventually Dan Vladar was going to get pulled, but before Dan Vladar got pulled, the Hurricanes went to work, and the hard work, really, done by Jesperi Kotkaniemi.
Now Kotkaniemi taken down by Hanifin. He'll get the puck to Shea. He scores! Brady Shea is red hot! His 3rd goal in 2 games, and the Canes extend the lead back to 2. It's 5-3 in Carolina.
Cannot underestimate or understate just how good a play it was from Jesperi Kotkaniemi. He out-muscled Noah Hanifin for the puck. You may laugh at that, that how hard is it to out-muscle Noah Hanifin for the puck. This isn't the Noah Hanifin from 5 years ago in Carolina, who you could always out-muscle for the puck. He is a much better player today. I don't think he's a star by any stretch of the imagination. Carolina made the right choice by with the defenseman they kept. But that's just good work, good hard work from Kotkaniemi. He draws the penalty, although they never got to it, because Kotkaniemi held onto the puck and then found Brady Shea coming down the slot. And Shea has suddenly become Brian Leetch. And Brady Shea now has 3 goals in his last 2 games. How about that? Not only 3 goals in his last 2 games, but how about 7 points in his last 4? By the way, second assist for Steven Lorenz tonight. He had an assist on that play as well. And Lorenz, who had 5 goals and no assists coming in, now has 5 goals and 2 assists. Then a minute later, on the power play, very quickly, I don't know if it was off the faceoff. I don't think it was off the faceoff. Might have been. Andrei Svechnikov just took a rip.
Svechnikov hammers one, and he'll score! On the power play, Svechnikov second of the game, and Carolina goes up 6-3.
Jordan Staal got the assist that snaps a 10-game pointless streak for Staal. It is his first point since November 28th. Jordan has now gone, I think, what, 23 games, 24 games without a goal? Look, last year everybody was enamored with his offense, but the rest of the game hadn't changed. I don't know that Jordan is playing at the highest level he's ever played at defensively. I'm not trying to tell you that. But his overall game is about where it always is. Maybe a tick below. The offense hasn't been there. And that's what people notice the most. We talked about it with Rod Brind'Amour before the game. And like he's still playing well. So, and I thought that their line was pretty good tonight, even with Martin Natchez struggling. I thought Martin fought it for most of the game today. Anyway, so that's the scoring. Carolina wins it 6-3. Svechnikov now with 12 goals on the season with 3 in his last 2 games. Here are some hot streaks, if you will. Kotkaniemi, 6 games with a point. 6 games straight with a point. A goal and 7 assists in that span. Steven Lawrence, 2 goals, 2 assists in his last 2 games. Brady Shea, 3 goals, 4 assists in his last 4. Andrei Svechnikov, 3 goals, 2 assists in his last 3. Hurricanes are 24-7-1, and I'll say this again. Derek Stepan, when he plays, the Hurricanes are 21-3-1. 21-3-1. Is it a coincidence? I'm not trying to tell you that Derek Stepan is the Hurricanes' MVP, but the Hurricanes are 3-4-0 when Stepan is out of the lineup and 21-3-1 when he's in it. For what that's worth, you take that and you do whatever you want with it. I'll just leave it there, and we'll have that little thing between us. Brady Shea also played very well at the other end of the ice. 3:04 shorthanded time. He played 19 minutes and 20 seconds. He was 4th on the team in time on ice among the defensemen. Jacob Slavin led the way, 23-31 on the ice, 3:40 shorthanded, had 4 blocked shots tonight. Brett Pesce had the assist on the Jesper Foss goal, so the first goal of the night. Pesce had the assist, 20 minutes on the ice, 4:40 shorthanded. Tony DeAngelo played 21 minutes tonight. Tony had a couple of mistakes in the first period, but for the most part, I thought Tony played a really solid game again and good defensively. Tony's been really responsible. It has just been one of the great things to watch this year. All we knew about Tony DeAngelo that was he was a great offensive player and he was allergic to defense. And all we've seen all year long is that, yeah, Tony's a great offensive player, and he's competitive as hell, and he ain't allergic to defense. He's been very good defensively, and if he wasn't, he wouldn't be playing 21 minutes tonight. He just wouldn't. But good work, penalty kill, 26 in a row. They have killed 26 consecutive penalties. And they were 4-for-4 tonight. I guess you could give, I know Tripp on TV tried to give the penalty kill a star, but I can't do that. But the penalty kill was dynamite again. One of those, Freddie Anderson needed to be dynamite, but hey, your goalie has to be your best penalty killer. He was great when he needed to be, but for the most part, man, those guys in front They do a hell of a job. So there you go. The Hurricanes are 24-7-1 on the season. They'll get the Florida Panthers tomorrow at PNC Arena. Dennis Cox, also known on Twitter as @TheFanRookie. He has been filling in for Alec Campbell in all things. I don't know if you've started playing golf yet or not, but...
No, I've playing hockey at least, so that, you know, a little too cold to play golf.
I don't think Alec plays any hockey. All right, so you did Stormwatch and Aftermath tonight and intermissions, and we spoke after two periods. What I like to do is tell me what you saw tonight from the fifth floor of PNC Arena.
Oh, I saw a game that was felt like it was about to start like Columbus did on New Year's Day. Just the way that Calgary just jumped out over Carolina. You can throw all the flowers and all the stars to Frederick Anderson in the first period, because if he doesn't play the way he did in the first period, I don't think this is not only just a Carolina win, but it may have been a runaway victory for Calgary the way that they jumped out to the game. When I spoke to Chirk Tracy for Stormwatch, he described, when talking about the game, he said, you know what? It's going to be like a hornet's nest out there, the way Calgary's going to come out there, try and pick up a win after having lost two straight games. And it's the third game of four nights. They don't want to go back to Alberta with three straight losses. And that's exactly what it felt like. Calgary just jumped all over Carolina. But Carolina's so lucky to be tied after 20 minutes, because that was all Calgary there in the first period. It was a 21-10 in terms of shots in the first period.
21-10, 7-2, and grade-A scoring chances.
Yeah, exactly. It was all Calgary in that first period. And just the fact that it was tied 1-1, you had to be thankful if you're a Hurricane. Heck, if it was 1-0 for Carolina, that would have been great for them after the way that first period went. But once Carolina got their legs under them, man, they took control of that game in the second period. So, you know, obviously Calgary made it interesting there in the third, but three goals in the span of, 4 minutes and 55 seconds. And just, once again, the depth of scoring. No goal tonight from Aho. No goal from Tara Vinen tonight. Jordan Saul still hasn't found the scoreboard in a while, but you and I talked about this. He impacts the game in so many other ways.
Yep.
But and no goal from Nina Niederreiter. The top line didn't even contribute a goal tonight.
Nope.
But once again, they put up six on the scoreboard and only one coming on the power play. And that's something you and I talked about against Columbus. They scored seven goals and none of them came on the power play.
after scoring three power play goals against Montreal, they didn't score a 5-on-5 goal, right?
Yeah.
No 5-on-5 goals against the Canadiens. They score everything on special teams. The penalty kill had to come up big after 4-2, when Tkachuk makes it 4-2. If I'm not mistaken, I probably could just look at a box score and know this. But Carolina had to kill two penalties at the end of the second period to keep it 4-2. They were able to do that twice. And then after Gaudreau makes it 4-3 on just a gorgeous play. What a pass by Eric Gudbranson.
Great pass.
After they make it 4-3, Carolina has to kill another penalty.
Yeah, they had to do that. Their PKs killed one. Is it 26 straight kills now for them? I thought the one at the end of the second period, I think it was Kokkaniemi, was the one in the box. They were in Calgary's zone just as much as Calgary was in Carolina's zone during that PK. It was phenomenal to see, because if they get a goal, Calgary does there late in the period on the power play, you're looking at a completely different third period. So I thought that was pretty clutch in regards to Carolina, not just, you know, for that moment, but for the course of the game too, because now you're looking at Calgary's got, hey, we've got two straight goals. We got momentum going into the third period, even though they're down one if they do score on that power play. So that PK was crucial there at the end of the second period on that penalty against Kokkaniemi, who, by the way, I thought had a pretty solid game again today.
Tremendous. And, you and I talked about it, I think, the last time. It was such a long time ago. I think we talked about it, how, you know, he's not playing the middle anymore. I know he took a couple of shifts. in that game against Columbus, but essentially they put him on the wing on the third line next to Eric Staal, and they have Staal, Natchez, and Kotkaniemi as the third line. So he is now playing well on the wing. His future is not there. His future is going to be in the middle of the ice. There's no doubt about that. But he makes himself so much more useful to the team if he can play the wing next to Jordan Staal or next to anybody. And now you even have some opportunity to, if you wanted to flip he and Niederreiter, you could put Kotkaniemi up with Aho and Teravainen and go throw all Finland at him. Could all be, by the way, as a quick aside, do you know that Sebastian Aho grew up an hour and a half from Santa Claus?
I heard that around the holiday time. Yes, he grew up an hour and a half from Santa Claus.
Yeah, it's maybe two and a half hours. Rovaniemi, Finland is where Santa lives.
Oh, okay.
And it's about two and a half hours. Yeah.
It's funny because some people say that he may resemble a very attractive elf, so that makes sense.
That is true. Maybe that's why Sebastian played the elf. Because he lives so close to Santa, he probably communicates with Mr. Claus all the time. Anyway, back to Kotkaniemi. Now the way he's playing on the wing, you have reason if you want to put him with Aho and Teravainen, you have reason to do that because he is now starting to play the game that Rod needs him to play on the wing. Although I have to assume that Martinook is going to get back into the lineup tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Right? I'm just going to guess.
Yeah, you want to have a fresh body in there for sure.
I mean, he's ready to play. He's not injured anymore. He was a healthy scratch tonight. My guess is that Derek Stepan will come out and Kotkaniemi will center the fourth line. It gives you a good fourth line with Kotkaniemi and Jarvis and probably what? Martinook
and move. Yeah, I guess it's probably Martinook on the fourth line.
Maybe move. Or maybe not. Or maybe it's going to be, Lorenz centering the fourth line. I don't know. Stevie's playing great too. And Kotkaniemi could just leave him right where he is with Staal and Natchez. But Derek Stepan scores the goal tonight that makes it 2-1. Mm-hmm. He gets the game winner. The Hurricanes are 21-3-1 with Stepan in the lineup. Again, yeah, I'm not sure that is worth anything, but it's pretty good.
Yeah, it definitely is for sure. Real quick before I talk about Stepan and his goal tonight. We're talking about Kotkaniemi. His work on that goal by Brady Shea.
Yep.
The way he actually drew a penalty on that play. A lot of people may not have noticed that. The ref had his arm up. The way he fought through a check, he fought through a penalty in the pass that he made to Brady Shea. He did work below the goal line. He doesn't look just by his build, just because how long and tall he is, that he can play physical, but he can.
Oh, yeah.
Just the value that I think he's really settled into himself in this lineup, and it's phenomenal to see him play. I do hope that the Canes continue to keep him after this season. Stepan.
Oh, they will.
They definitely think they will. Now, Stepan, it's just this guy, the way he plays in terms of his physicality, just how smart he is, just how long he's been in the league. He's only 31 years old. But as long as he's been in the league, he slots him perfectly for that fourth line center for the Canes because he understands his role. He's not someone you have to rely on to score goals, but when he chips in, he's great. He can play on the PK. He can take those right-handed draws if Vincent Trocheck can't go out there. He was great tonight. It was a strong power move by Stephen Lawrence, and he was just right there on the slot, and he just buried it.
Yep.
That's the thing about, talking about, who does Jordan Martinook go in for tomorrow? I mean, Lawrence just had two goals a couple of nights ago, a month ago, it feels like now, right, against Columbus, and Stepan getting a goal tonight. I don't think you're going to take Jarvis out of the lineup. So, I don't know. Maybe Jordan Martinook doesn't draw into the lineup. Maybe Rod Rendemore keeps the same lineup out there. But he brings so much value to the team. I know he's been the odd man out for stretches at some points earlier this season. But, it's just having that depth is huge. And when the Canes were going through their COVID stuff and had some injuries and stuff earlier in the year, you can step up and be your third line center for a couple games if you have to. Like he can do that because he's done it before. He's just so smart. He knows how to play the game. He was one of my favorite pickups that Carolina made this offseason, just for like his veteran presence, just being able to play in all different situations. And if he could chip in a goal and some points every once in a while, which is great what you get from your fourth line. So Stephon's just been so valuable. And you read the stat in terms of when he's in the lineup, Canes win. That's the name of the game, right?
It is the name of the game. You talk about that Stephon was one of your favorite additions in the offseason. I'm going to refer to this a little bit later on. But I did this report card, and when, you know, Rod Brind'Amour is going to get an A+ from me, I don't even care. And I don't care who, anybody who calls me a Rod Brind'Amour apologist. I'm okay with that. But in the off season, think about all the changes they made from a team that had the third best record in the NHL. Granted, I know how different last year was, and I'm not saying they were the third best team. I just said they had the third best record in the NHL. And the Hurricanes made so many changes. Yep. Hamilton out, the trade of Fogel, all three goaltenders, including a guy who finished third in the Norris Trophy, Calder Trophy race. And on top of that, he had arguably the best statistical season of any goalie in the league last year, Alex Nedeljkovic. They swap out all three goaltenders and think about bringing in Freddie Anderson, Ian Cole. How big was Ian Cole when the entire defensive core, other than Slavin, had COVID, massive. Right? Stephon, the trade of Fogel for Ethan Bear. And even though Bear hasn't played great since he came back from his COVID break, you know, you could see that there is something there for the future with Ethan Bear. So they just made so many good moves in the offseason. Now, there's still work to do because I don't know if they're the best team in the NHL. I know they have the best record in the NHL. They have the best points percentage, all that. But, you know, they did such a good job at retooling, and the core is still there. I didn't bring up Coach Kotkaniemi there. What a heist that was. Just an app boost, total theft. And they get a player. He's not going to be a $6 million player next year. He's going to be between 4 and 5. My guess is closer to 4 than 5. And they have a chance to have, you know, a centerpiece of their team because he's going to be a center. And, I mean, he's 21.
Yeah.
He's 21 years old.
He's 21. It's amazing when you look at the lineup. They're, okay, Jordan Staal's over 30. Derek Stepan's over 30. Ian Cole's over 30. And the two goaltenders are over 30. But it's not like they're 38, 39. They're 31, 32. These guys are. Staal's 33. And then, okay, Jordan Martin looks 29. Everyone else, Sebastian Aho's 24 years old. Yeah. Jacob Slavin and Brett Pesher, what, 26, 27?
Yeah.
I mean, even Vincent Trocheck, as long as that guy has been in the NHL, he's still only 28 years old. This is you look at the young core of this team, and it's exactly that. It's young. This is something that they're building together. And like you mentioned, they identified who their core guys that they wanted to keep. Like, okay, who can we not get rid of? Like, who do we have to keep here in Raleigh? All right, these guys. Guess what? The rest of you, thanks for your time. You're great here, but we can upgrade. We can do better. And that's exactly what they did. And, I mean, yeah, this a veteran guy like Ian Cole just playing on your third defensive pair for who you can just trust. Like, okay, hey, time to go kill a penalty. All right, Ian's out there. Derek Stephon, all right, we're in the defensive zone. We need a right-handed face-off here. All right, Derek, you go out there, and you win a face-off. It's just those kinds of things, just upgrading. And then we've talked about it before, how you also see guys like Stephen Nason, Josh Livo, Jalen Chatfield, guys who are now playing in Chicago or on the taxi squad now, who have NHL experience that you can bring up when you had all these injuries, something they haven't had since Greg McKay 3 seasons ago for this team. So it's just the depth that they built. I know you gave the organization on your grades, the front office staff, an A+.
Yeah.
I completely agree with you. The way they built this team right now, it's a better team than it was last season.
Oh yeah, they are. I think they're a significantly better team. Yeah. In basically every way you could be better, they're better.
Yeah, and we didn't even mention Brendan Smith, like your seventh defenseman, who when Bear had his COVID situation or these other injuries and stuff, when D'Angelo and Pesci was out, he stepped in and played a ton of minutes for them.
Yeah, he's been good. I still think, you know, there are some things that they might need to add. I might back off a depth forward because Stephen Lawrence has stepped his game up, and so right now Carolina's got 13 NHL forwards. I mean, you could always use a little bit of depth just to cover yourself, but that depth is in Chicago because some of those guys can legitimately play. Jack Drury can come up and play, Nason can play, and Josh Lavo can play. So they've got plenty of people even in the minor. I think Joey Keane scored a goal tonight for the Wolves. So there's a bunch of guys who can step in and play, and that'll be cool to see if they need it. But if you're a contending team, you always add something, a little something, just in case. And I think they will, just in case. Give me your three stars, Dennis Cox.
Oh, this was actually really hard for me tonight.
I thought it was hard tonight, too.
It was really hard. I gave my third star tonight to Frederick Anderson. The Canes would not have won the game if it wasn't for him.
Thank you.
Period. I mean, he still made 36 saves tonight, which I think his save percentage tonight was .923, which is right there on par with what .929 when he came in tonight. I guess you could close a standard game for Anderson, but his play in the first period, Canes would not have won the game if it wasn't for him. I gave my second star to Svechnikov with a couple goals that he had tonight. I know you and I talked about this, and something that you mentioned is that when he starts scoring, it might not stop.
Yep.
Which, hey, if you're a Canes fan or you're the team, you're totally okay with that. And that second goal he had, that power play goal, was an absolute laser. But just him seeing the puck go past the goaltender, it's going to be massive for him. He might have a real hot streak coming up, similar to probably to what Sebastian Aho did in that six-game stretch where he had 14 points. We might see something like that from Andrei Svechnikov here really soon. I gave my top star to Brady Shea because his goal is what sealed it, you know, made it 5-3, and also adding two assists again tonight, just another multi-point game. Plus, he has great hair.
He's getting a little gray.
Yeah, well, you know, it happens with time. He's only 27. But, you know, he joined your show this week. I know you weren't on it, but Hayes Permar with the interview. That's what happens. You know, when people join your show, Adam, they produce great games like this one. So he is my third star. He easily could have given a star to Jesper Foss, who was just fantastic again tonight.
Yep.
His goal there in the first period was massive, and a great point shot by Brett Pesci. We haven't even mentioned Brett Pesci yet tonight.
Played well.
He played fantastic tonight. And Shea was the one who sent the puck around the boards to Pesci. He got a clean shot off, and Foss right there in front of the net with a great deflection, which tied things up after Carolina was not good in the first period. And everyone on that team will tell you the exact same thing. So Foss, you easily can give a star to tonight, but Anderson, Svechnikov, Shea for me. What about you?
Yeah, man, I had actually the exact same three in that order. I also considered Jesper Foss, but there's no way that Freddie Anderson can't get a star.
I mean, they
probably lose the game without Anderson.
Yeah.
And even if you decide, well, maybe he could have had the Coleman goal and he actually was in position to stop Tkachuk on the 2-on-1, but it went off his stick. His stick wasn't on the ice. If his stick is on the ice, he makes the save. I'm like, even if you wanted to bang him for those goals, the first period, it could have been 3-0.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It could have been
20
over.
Saves in the first period.
Yeah.
20 saves in the first period. He was outstanding. Yeah, if it wasn't for him, this game, I don't think, was close, because with all due respect to Columbus, they're not as good as Calgary.
No.
You can make a comeback against a Columbus team when you're down 4-0. If you got down 3-0 or even 4-0 against this Calgary team, you aren't coming back.
No.
In my opinion, they're just better. They're just a better team. I think Calgary only had given up 77 goals all season.
Yeah, they're good.
One of the best in the NHL. Like, yeah, they're a really good team. I was actually a little surprised Jacob Markstrom didn't play tonight because Vladar played last night in Tampa. But Vladar struggled a little bit there in the second period. He seemed like he was fighting the puck.
Fighting the puck, yes.
he's fighting the puck a little bit. But nevertheless, I mean, that's if you fall behind 3-0 against Calgary, you probably were done. Especially a team that was desperate for a win.
No question about that. No question about that. All right, sir. I will let you go. That is Dennis Cox at the Fan Rookie on Twitter. Follow him there. And we'll be listening tomorrow night.
Yeah, back at it. We actually have hockey. There's no 5-day layoff.
All right, before we get out of here, two things. The first is I'm going to go through a couple of the grades that I gave out. If you read WRALSportsFan.com, did a report card. And we're going to go to the three guys that got A's. And then we're going to hear from the head coach. Because if you think that Rod Brind'Amour is ever surprised by anything, I don't even ask him about, or were you surprised by? Because the answer is always no. Because Rod is never surprised about anything. Or impressed, really. Three players who got A's for me this year so far. Frederik Andersen. Actually, I'm only going to do two of the A's, and then we're going to find another grade. Frederik Andersen, A. Duh. Tony DeAngelo, A. Jesper Fast, A-. See, the numbers never tell the story with him, ever. His career best, 33 points with the Rangers. That's his career best, 33 points. He might not even get to that this year. But to watch Jesper Fast play, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo, is to watch a guy who helps you win. He just does. He's just flat reliable. There is no better $2 million player in the league, and the Hurricanes have him for another year. I don't know what happens beyond that. I really don't. I don't know what happens with Vincent Trocheck next year or Nino Niederreiter. I think there's a much better chance that those two players are not here next year, as vital as they've been. I think the playoffs will tell the story for either, for both of them. I really do. I think big playoff series for both or for either one might have them return. But, man, Carolina's got a lot of money to pay out in the next few years. Going to have to pay Tony DeAngelo. Going to have to pay Martin Natchez. Natchez's been a little bit of a disappointment for me so far. By the way, in the grades, I gave Natchez a B-. And I think that he had a couple of more turnovers tonight. I didn't think it was Natchez's best game. There are times where he's amazing, and there are times where he's not amazing. And I think tonight was one of those games. And then Derek Stepan, I gave a B-. Just a pro. Again, Canes are now 21-3-1 with him in the lineup. He doesn't deserve to come out. He probably will come out when Martineau comes back. But he's been dynamite, absolutely dynamite for them. So, all right. Now, if you think that you can surprise the head coach with anything, just wait a couple of questions in.
Rod, how relieving is it to get that victory after the way the start went?
Well, I kind of figured that was, going to happen. Playing a real good team that plays quick and hard, and we're just come off that long break, and it's just you much as you talk about it, you got to be in the rhythm, and it just took us a while. So, Freddie kept us in the game, in that first period, and we were fortunate, I think, to come out of there 1-1 for sure.
It might be easy to take for granted how good the penalty kill has been lately, but it's been now a month since you allowed a goal. I know it hasn't been that many games, but December 7th is the last time. Are you just amazed at how well these guys are doing this and especially in key moments like tonight?
No, we expect, like I say, we expect to kill a penalty. I mean, you're not going to kill them all. You're going to get a bad bounce and they're going to make a good play, but I think, Tim's done a great job stepping in and putting his stamp on it. And I think the guys have really, taking it to heart, right? They take a lot of pride in that, and you know, we had some breakdowns and then our goalie made some big saves, you know, but it's a crucial part of the game, especially in a game like tonight where, you know, they get one on the power play there. It's a different game.
I know you can't expect a lot of 3-point nights from Brady, but I think he's got 7 points in the last four games now and has really been contributing offensively. I mean, you talk about the depth a lot and getting contributions from everywhere. I imagine you have to be thrilled that you have guys stepping up when you need them to.
Yeah, that's what we have to have, right? We need everyone. We talk about it all the time, and we want to be that team that we all expect we can be and want to be. Everyone has to contribute. And, you know, Brady's, you know, he's can skate, shoot. I mean, it's not really surprising to me that he's able to do this. Obviously, you know, you don't expect that to happen at this rate, but, you know, if you really watch his game, he's always getting scoring chances almost pretty much every night because he gets into play so well.
When I talk to Rod before every game, I never say anymore, "Are you surprised by?" I always preface it by saying, "I know you're never surprised by anything," because he never is. He knew they would start slow tonight, figured that they would. And he's not surprised that Brady Shea can provide a little scoring punch. He gets a ton of chances, and that's actually what I wrote about Brady Shea when I gave him a B+ so far this season, is that he is solid, he is durable, he is reliable, he's handsome. We all know that. But he gets a ton of chances to score. And I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a little bit of an offensive uptick from Brady in the second half. We'll see. One goal in. 3 points tonight. He's got 7 points in his last four games. All right, we're done. We've kept you too long. We'll do it again after the Canes and the Florida Panthers Saturday night. The Aluminum Company of North Carolina sponsors the Canes Corner podcast, the morning after edition. We are here after every Hurricanes game, as you know. And the Aluminum Company is there for all of your exterior home needs, home improvements. That your home is your biggest investment. Take good care of it. Let the Aluminum Company of North Carolina help. All you got to do is find them online. AluminumCompany.com. Free no obligation estimate. Sammy Hanna and his crew be happy to help. Best company you'll ever deal with for home improvement needs. Follow the Canes Corner podcast wherever you get your podcast. You can give us a rating. You can give us a review. I don't care. Whatever you want to do is fine. But if you follow it, it shows up automatically. So whenever I post this, maybe it'll be before midnight, Friday night. And if that happens, ding, there it is. New podcast available. And you can just push play. What's better than that? All right. Thanks to Dennis Cox. Thanks to you. We'll see you tomorrow when the Canes, or later today, again, when the Canes take on the Florida Panthers. Bye.
This has been the Canes Corner Podcast with Adam Gold, presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. You can listen to this podcast at WRALSportsBand.com or wherever you get your podcasts.